Hello and welcome back to Hashtag Health. In our previous two episodes, I spoke with Dr. Spencer Nadolski about obesity medicine, treatments, and addressed misconceptions. Today, we will be talking about weight bias and stigma, what it is, how to spot it, and what we, including future and current health professionals, can do about it. Let's get right into this episode.
Cool. So I like to switch gears a bit, and we've kind of touched on this with various things we've talked about, weight stigma and weight bias. So I guess over the past few years, I felt like there's been much more conversation around this topic and more awareness. And I think it's really good because it just makes a lot of people's lives really hard and there's a lot of negative effects. And just before we dive in, I do want to give a disclaimer. Like, I think that some people perpetuate bias and stigma, including potentially healthcare professionals. They may generally have good intentions and believe they are promoting health. So I'm not trying to villainize anyone here. But first off, weight bias and weight stigma, how do you define them?
Yeah, so the thing is with like bias, like I think a lot of it's like innate. Like, I don't know if it's growing up or some cultures, like you go to certain cultures, like they have a stronger, even stronger stigma and biases. So the bias is kind of the thoughts of whatever. So like, you know, these internal thoughts. So let's say a person's walking, it's like they're 300 pounds and your bias is that that person is that they're lazy and they must not care about their body or care about anything. They're just lazy, gluttonous type of thing. And then the stigma is actually like acting on that. So like you see that in healthcare, for example, a patient with obesity will come in with back pain and they'll be like, you just got to lose weight. They won't even do an exam. They won't treat the person as a person that they would normally see. They're just like, it's from your weight. And then of course, you know, the bad situations, you'll see that, oh, unfortunately they had a tumor or some sort of cancer and they didn't do, I mean, you hear, but you see the stories all the time, but that's the stigma coming through that their thoughts actually changed how they would treat the person. So it's really unfortunate. I mean, we see it a lot with insurances here and, you know, employers and different things like that. Like, oh, they'll cover the medicine for type 2 diabetes, but then they won't cover it for obesity because it's just vanity. They got to try harder. But it's like, really, it's all part of the kind of similar pathophysiology. It's just kind of on the spectrum a little bit more. Yeah, that's kind of how I frame it.
Yeah, so you talked about how, you know, the example of someone going in with back pain and doctor says it's just because of your weight. I was wondering, like, what are some other ways that this shows up in like healthcare and medical settings? Because my suspicion is that it's not always that overt and sometimes it can be more subtle. So I was wondering if you could comment on that.
Yeah, so thinking of like seating, for example. Seating somewhere, not taking into account someone's weight, that type of thing. Now, you know, you could say that, well, it's a private company, they can do whatever they really want to. But I'm trying to think of like healthcare. It's just, I'm in healthcare, so you see it all the time. Like, this person shouldn't be on this medicine long term. You should, like, I'll see it on Twitter, like even prominent physician researcher people, that'll be like, we need to figure out how to get people off these medicines. Why? Why do we need to get, you don't say that about cardiovascular disease. We don't say that about type 2 diabetes or hypertension. So why do we need to get people off these medicines? And what's funny is I'll catch them and they don't respond. They're probably like, and then people start piling on like, yeah, why? Yeah. What they clearly have a strong bias against those with obesity. It's like, man, what do you, like, you don't even realize it. Cause it's so ingrained. I'm thinking of different, like, other areas in life, you know, restaurants, we're starting to see some positive movements in like clothing and stuff like that, trying to be inclusive. And some people are like, oh, that's normalizing it. So you start making clothes for those with obesity, it just kind of normalizes it. Yeah, and it actually just, I don't think so. It probably just helps them have clothes that fit them. Like, in order to treat it, you're gonna have to go beyond like not supplying clothes for those, you know what I mean? Like stuff like that. I'm trying to think of other classic examples, but I just see it a lot in healthcare. You see it with insurances, employers, like, again, just not covering these medicines. They're expensive, mind you. So I understand the economics and things like that, but It's this thought that, like, hey, people shouldn't be on these medicines long term. We need to get them off. It's not a long term solution. It's like, yeah, like if you understand obesity as a chronic disease, you understand that's like anything else that's a chronic disease. And why wouldn't we treat it as such? So that's what I see often.
Yeah, you were talking about the thing with clothing, and I remember, and I think you probably have seen this too. I think it was like a sport brand that came out with like plus size clothing, and they had a plus size mannequin on display, and people were just absolutely going off. And it's like, so people with obesity, they go to the gym and work out, you make fun of them, they don't work out, and you call them lazy, and just I don't understand like what the goal of all that is.
And then they'll give them crap for not losing weight, and then they'll lose weight with one of these medicines, and they'll give them crap for using the medicine. It's when you start really seeing your biases and understand it, it's like, oh yeah, God, I did have a kind of an obesity bias. That's it's just I think as long as people, it takes a second, it doesn't feel good to kind of go, oh, I really am biased. But like when you start pointing it out, that's how you can start changing. And then you don't stigmatize people as much. It's just you it starts with pointing out your own stuff.
Yeah, so I guess on that note, what are some ways that future or current healthcare professionals, or even non-healthcare professionals for that matter, like what are some ways that we can spot our own biases and stigma?
I would just like when you think about when you see somebody on the street, you don't know their situation. Maybe they've already lost 100 pounds and they're trying extremely, really hard, or not. Or it doesn't even matter if they are or not. You just understand, like, hey, maybe they're in a body that, like, you don't know if they care or not. Like, if you feel yourself thinking that way, like, start wondering why. And like, when you start thinking about these medicines, if these medicines make you mad, you ask yourself why. Why would these medicines make you mad? People get mad because they're like, people need to suffer. You know, people need to suffer in order to lose weight. I had to suffer. And it's like, why, God, if there's a technology that makes people feel better and live longer and better quality lives, why would you be mad at that? It's really like when you start thinking about it that way, it's like, oh yeah, why would I be mad at that? It's because you have a bias. And then you start going, oh. And it doesn't feel comfortable to point out your own biases because it's like, oh gosh, you know what? Maybe I am being ridiculous. And then you might push back and start going, no, I'm not like that. But if you're mad about these medicines, it's probably because you have a bias. Like there's not any way around it.
And I think one parallel I'm thinking of is how people have treated like antidepressants in the past. They're just like, oh, like people with depression should just go outside and touch grass more instead of, taking medicines because it doesn't get to the, again, the root cause. And it just seems like you have a bias against medicines and against like mental health because you think it's just them not going outside enough.
Yeah, no, that's right. It's very similar. I mean, because you think people could just cheer up. It's like people don't have a good grasp of like how people are, you know?
Yeah, so I think one thing I realized, and we've been using this terminology throughout this podcast, is you say patients with obesity and not obese patients. And I guess for like healthcare providers, future or current, again, I was wondering if we could talk about other ways that we can make our encounters in offices be non-stigmatizing, and I guess starting with language.
Yeah, it's using patient first language instead of saying a diabetic, it's a patient with diabetes or type 2 diabetes. Instead of you say a patient with cancer, not a cancerous patient, you know. So it's trying to separate the disease from the person and taking it away from their identity. The person, this person with type 2 diabetes, not the diabetic person. It's not them. It's they have that disease. So that type of thing. And actually, you know, patients don't actually prefer even they don't even like the term obesity. And you don't even have to use the term. We can just talk about weight in general. That tends to be the term that people prefer. Some people, you know, it's interesting. There are some factions out there that want to like liberate the term fat. I would never, ever, ever call a patient. It's like, hey, you know, you're fat, you need to lose weight. Like that's terrible. But there are some people that would be like, no, that's fine. And I would never start with that though. That they'd leave a 1-star or 0-star review if I did something like that. And it's just not nice. But there are some people that may call themselves that way and it's just like I don't even say it to them. So yeah, using language, there like even the talking about failing diets, I kind of touched on that before. It's switching to responding to a treatment versus not responding. Really placing the blame or fault on the person versus like talking about it as a disease. And that's what some people get this country. It's like, well, gosh, they have to have some responsibility in this. And it's like, yeah, well, why don't we talk? Why don't we, however you would talk to somebody for any other disease is how you should really approach it. Like for type 2 diabetes, do we really sit there and go like, you really need to diet and exercise more? It's along the same spectrum. So why wouldn't we? You're gatekeeping the GLP-1 medicines. Do we gatekeep insulin because their blood sugars are high? No, we don't. Like it's that type of thing. So, but in the patient's office, you want to make sure you have chairs that are comfortable. Like the weigh-in process, you want to make sure it's like people aren't looking at them. It's a very personal thing. Some people don't want to be weighed. You don't want to be weighed in front of other people. It's a kind of a traumatic experience for if you listen to patients, they already feel a lot of shame. So then, like putting you in front and like having a computer in front of you and typing and be like, oh, your BMI is high. You should eat less, move more, as opposed to like, let's talk to the patient. Like, hey, do you ask them permission to talk about, like, can we talk? Do you want to talk about your weight? Do you feel comfortable? Can we talk about that? And some people feel more comfortable as opposed to just wagging your finger. Be like, you really need to lose weight, don't you? And it's like, yeah, I know. Like, you don't need to remind me. I've already heard that multiple times. So that type of stuff. There's some good resources out there. The Canadian Obesity Association, they talk about how to start the conversation and asking assessment and all that type of thing. I don't think it's rocket science. I think it's just like putting in a modicum of effort compared to other people. That's people make it, try to make it too more than it is. And it's like, no, just like, but you don't want to just also ignore it too. That's where some people go wrong. They just completely ignore it, put their head in the sand, and like, oh, I'm too scared to ask about it. It's like, no, you can talk about it. Just be cool. Like, don't be a jerk. I don't know.
Yeah, and you kind of talked about how some of this can be a traumatic experience for your patients. I was wondering if you could talk about like what are the effects of weight stigma on patients? Because I can imagine that some people might be scared to go to a doctor's office and think, oh, I go today, I'm going to get a lecture, I'm going to get everything blamed on my weight.
Yeah, so it kind of goes into like the effects of stigma, by the way. When you start thinking like, I'm going to tell this person, I'm going to have a coming to Jesus. Some people respond to that, but in general, it can actually worsen and make things worse than what you than not doing anything. It's associated with weight gain, worse quality of eating, and all sorts of stuff like that. So it literally has the effect you absolutely don't want on it. And you may, again, you like you said before, it may be well-intentioned, like I'm going to put this person in their place. It's like, no, you're going to have the opposite effect. So that person probably shouldn't say anything at all. But ideally, you would just bring it up, be conscious of it. Same thing with like smoking. You don't want to be like, you know, smoking's bad for you. Most people know smoking's bad for you. So you just kind of offer it help. You want to talk about it? Are you okay? Okay, we can talk about options. But yeah, stigma, when people experience a stigma, it worsens outcomes and across the board. Again, some people do respond to like a coming to Jesus type of thing. You hear it, it's like you're gonna die if you don't do anything now. But in general, it makes people not even want to go to the doctor, which then worsens outcomes.
I don't know if this is going to be similar to my last question, but a bit of a content warning. I'm going to be discussing like eating disorders, disordered eating. So I know that these disorders are very multifactorial, but one thing that a lot of like, survivors do share is that weight stigma can certainly contribute, and this can include the way that weight is discussed by healthcare professionals. So to be clear, again, I'm not pointing the finger at doctors and saying they're solely responsible for eating disorders, but I'm just wondering if you have input on ways we can discuss weight and weight loss sensitively and like responsibly without unintentionally fueling this.
Yeah, I think to me it comes down to asking permission to even discuss it at all. It's a very sensitive topic. When a patient says, you know what, I don't really want to talk about it, like, all right, if you ever want to, I'm here. I also think it's why you have to look at somebody holistically and not just like yeah, your BMI is above 25, like yet this person's like super healthy. Like, I don't know. It's you don't want to wag your finger. It's like, hey, we can talk about it and talk about risks and things like that. But I think asking for permission is really the right way to go about it. Not wagging your finger, not just assuming people aren't trying, that type of thing. That's what I would do. I mean, it's just maybe it sounds like common sense to me, but if you actually have to consciously think about it when you're talking to patients, like don't just come in and like dichotomously, like, oh, BMI is a little bit high. Like, I'm going to tell you that you're going to have a heart attack type of thing. Like, hey, let's kind of feel the situation out a little bit. That's how I do it.
And I guess like going the opposite way, do you think it ever goes the other way too? Like, for example, I'm someone with a normal BMI and I never get the diet and exercise or like health talk when I go in and see my
Yeah.
doctor. So do you think there are like dangers to that?
Yeah. So if you just assume, yeah, it really depends on what you're screening for, but like, yeah, if you just kind of assume certain things, that's kind of the putting the blinders on, and having your biases. That's kind of how it works. 'Cause yeah, you may assume that somebody's super healthy and whatever, just based on their body size that was genetically determined, you know, which is obviously, as you said, not actually the case.
Yeah, because I think because there are studies out there to show that people with normal weights can still have all these obesity related complications and stuff like that.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's why obviously we ideally want to think holistically.
Yeah, so I guess just we're wrapping up now and just we're coming to the end of our time together. But before, I guess we wrap up completely. Where can listeners find you on the internet?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at Dr. Nadolsky, DrNadolsky. I have a Docs Who Lift podcast. I do that with my brother. He's an endocrinologist and obesity specialist. And let's see, Dr. Spencer on TikTok, Twitter, X, Dr. Nadolsky. Same thing with Facebook. It's Dr. Spencer Nadolsky.
Yeah. Any last pieces of advice for people listening to a podcast?
No, I just, if you think of obesity as a vanity issue, think of it more as a chronic biological disease, and that'll take you a lot further than anything, really. And then think of, when you see somebody, just really think about how, like, you just don't know what's going on in their situation.
So, thank you so much again for coming into the podcast, Dr. Nadolski. It was awesome to hear your perspectives and knowledge on this.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Thank you for joining us today on our final episode in this episode series. Today, we talked about what weight stigma is and why it's so important for us to address it, particularly in healthcare settings. We also talked about ways to address weight stigma, including using patient-first language, reflecting on our own beliefs and biases, and asking patients' permissions before bringing up weight or weight loss. For those interested, the Obesity Canada resource mentioned by Dr. Nadolski is in the description. With that, we've reached the end of this episode series. We'd like to thank Dr. Nadolski again for taking the time to speak to us. We hope you've enjoyed this series and have learned something new.